that Abraham's genealogy goes plumb back to Adam and then back to God. So we are today looking at our ability to trace back our own lineage to God, if indeed we are sons of God, as Jesus was indeed the firstborn Son of God. But before we attempt this very difficult subject, let us bow our heads and our hearts in a word of prayer. Dear Father, we are so thankful to know that not only are we sons, but that we can trace our ancestry back to you as well. For we know that by this ability which you have given to us, to know our lineage goes back to you, is not by means of a physical historical record, as it did in the days of your Son Jesus, which record went back, or back then, would trace his lineage all the way back to Adam. But Father, we know that we, as your sons, and we are your sons, because you have sent your Spirit, the same Spirit you placed in your Son, you sent it into our hearts, whereby we are crying, Father, Father. And we know that you have showed us in Genesis 1:11 that every seed will bring forth after its kind. And we know that who we are because you've manifested yourself in your true character through your own Son, Jesus. And again, this last days, you have declared yourself openly through the ministry of your prophet, William Branham, in such a way that we have come to the place that we know, even as we are known. Father, we have come to know you because we have seen you face to face. We've seen you presence to presence in this hour. Grant then to us, Father, this ability to know you as Father, even as we are known by you as your sons. For we ask this in the name of your eldest son, our oldest brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Now, as I said, our study this morning is that the revelation of the Son of God brings a benefit to us of knowing our lineage is from God. We are given an ability to trace back our lineage to God Himself. And this has to do with seed. And in fact, seed is one of the most important doctrinal teachings that William Branham taught us. Because after all, outside of Godhead, the most important thing is seed. For if you did not come from God, you have no representation in Him. And therefore, if you were not in Him before the foundations of the world, then you will not be part of Him or with Him after the world is dissolved. As Brother Bram said, if there was no representation up there, you'll not have representation here. And we see this same thought being portrayed by the Apostle Paul in both Ephesians chapter 1 and Romans chapter 8. So if you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll read from verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now notice, now, you see, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, or in his presence in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Not your choice, not my choice. His choice, His pleasure, His will. In Romans chapter 8, and reading from verse 29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate, predetermine, to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, in other words, who He did predetermine, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also, that's past tense, justified, and whom He justified, them He also, past tense, glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for all of us, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Now this morning I would like to look at this ability to trace our lineage back to the Father. I remember years ago a conversation with Brother Vail that I had on the subject where he stated to me that he believed that one day at the White Throne we would have our lineage traced all the way back to Adam and Eve, or the serpent and Eve. This conversation was sometime between 1979 and 1980, but I remember talking for several hours on various things. But I remember so well this subject of tracing our lineage all the way back to Adam and then to God at the White Throne. And in this conversation, we talked about whether serpent seed even had a soul. Because Brother Branham said that there are men that are nothing more than brute beasts, and the Apostle Jude and Peter also said the same thing. But I remember in the conversation, Brother Vail said, you know, we know that they have a soul, but you wonder sometimes. Because the serpent had no place for a soul. I mean, he had a place for a soul, but he didn't have a soul. And the life coming from the serpent, you have to wonder. But we know one thing for sure. Brother Bram talked about that inner soul, that germ from God. And we know for certain that the brute beasts don't have that germ from God, so they don't have that spark of life, eternal life. Now in Jude chapter 1, verse 10, we read, "But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves." Now think about that, because we're looking at tracing back our lineage. And Jude tells us there's one attribute that you can look at here and see very readily that those that are brute beasts speak evil of things they know nothing about. Well, Peter says the same thing in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. "But these as natural brute beasts are made to be taken and destroyed. They were made for the purpose of destruction." Brother Ram called him cannon fodder. Now that wasn't a very nice term, was it? Well, it was. Because it was God's term. Where does fertilizer come from? From living substance made dead. With the billions of people we have in the earth today, it's going to make a very, very green millennium. Now that might sound crass. It might sound not very politically correct. But the Bible tells us that the saints shall walk out on the ashes of the wicked. 2 Peter says, "But these as natural brute beasts are made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption." Brute beasts speaking evil of things which they know not. You know, a donkey cannot blaspheme the Holy Ghost. There is no unpardonable sin for an animal. Animals are animals. But these are brute beasts, serpent nature. I think it's interesting that the toll is up somewhere around 150,000 plus over 11 or 12 nations now that this tsunami has destroyed, mostly Muslim nations, Islam, to the point where even Sri Lanka refused to accept any help from Israel. They didn't want those infidels' help. I believe this is judgment upon these people. And I won't say that I can be wrong on that. I do believe that this is part of the sixth seal is opened. It began with Hitler and Mussolini coming forth. Brother Brown said 2 million, or, you know, 2 million, I think it was, spirits let loose on the earth. And we see these judgments. And yet, 150,000 plus, and by the time that they find all the bodies, if they ever do find them, many are washed out to sea. Many they will never find. They'll only know they're dead because they haven't resumed their place in society. I believe the count will be somewhere close to 250,000 people. With all the plague that's going to follow, all the dead bodies. And yet not one animal carcass has been found. Not one animal has been found dead. There's a sixth sense, Brother Brown told us, when he was in India, he said the newspaper said, "Notice all the birds they've gone away from the walls and this and that, you know, and then the earthquake came." You see, God warns His creation, then judgment. The world has had a warning. The animals took heed. Animals, sensitive to the call from God. And they fled to the hills. They fled to the high ground. All the elephants that they have in those countries, all the tigers, all the big animals, small animals, not one carcass have they found of an animal. That's an amazing thing to think about. how God warns His creation. And yet, these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not. Now, Brother Branham in the following quotes almost admits that these people have no soul. But he comes short of saying that, just that. Therefore, we must stop at that point as well. From the sermon, Raising of Jairus' Daughter, Brother Branham said, "Oh, how wonderful! Then this maniac run down to him, and the Lord, Jesus, rebuked them spirits. And a lot of people say that religion will run you crazy. Not the religion of the Lord Jesus Christ won't. It'll give you a right mind. And you're not in your right mind until you have met the Lord Jesus. That's true. Why, some people call themselves gentlemen, but so beastly till they'd throw a baby out of a mother's arms to ravish her, or beast brute lust in his heart, maybe weigh 250 pounds of muscle like some kind of an animal. But that ain't a man. That's a beast, certainly. Man is not measured by his muscles or by his stature. A man is measured by his character. Whatever he is by character. There was no beauty that, as I said, that we should desire Jesus, but what a character. It's never been duplicated in all the world. That's right. So a Bible even said that we looked upon him, he wasn't of no beauty, that we should desire him. We all turned our heads from him and everything, but a character that has never been measured to him. What a wonder. And again from his sermon called Life, he says, man's not measured by muscles, that's brute beast. Man's measured by character. And if you're a son of God, you're measured by your character. And in the sermon Questions and Answers, 1954, Brother Branham says, there's where that I think that Cain, after the nature of that brute that she lived with, like an animal that lived with this woman that brought forth this child, which was half brute and half manlike, a great big old fella. And then he went out there, and his children begin to come from him, and then beasts, sexual lusts like their daddy in the beginning. That old brute beast found these daughters and things and took unto them the daughters of men. That's right. And what brought on these fellows? Sure, it come down through that same lineage, which was these fallen spirits that come upon the people. Remember, the same spirit that lived back there lives today. And again, from Hear Ye Him, Brother Ram said, man ain't measured by muscles. That's beast. Man's measured by character. And I seen men that weighed 200 pounds and all muscle and didn't have an ounce of man in him. You know, you look at the homosexuals today and how they pride themselves in their muscles and their toned muscles, you know, and their ribs or their abs and all this stuff. And yet there's not even an ounce of man in those, even though they have a male body. Throw a baby out of a mother's arms and ravish her, that ain't a man, that's a beast. That's brute beast. Man is character. There never was a man like Jesus Christ, but the Bible said that there was no beauty that we should desire him. Probably a little bitty fellow, stooped in the shoulder or something. We all hid, as it were, our faces from him. But there never was a character like that. That's what real man is. You don't measure a man's muscles, but by the bags of the knees in his pants where he's been praying. That's the way you measure a man, by character. And it's true. And also from his sermon, Book of Exodus, Brother Branham said, a woman is a wonderful thing and a man too. But when they've got away from God, they're lower down than beasts. That's right. They'll do things that a beast wouldn't even think of doing. Now, as for the serpent, we know he did not have a soul because he was not a man, but he was a beast, although he could reason and he was very crafty. And from Questions and Answers, Conflict, Order, and Doctrine, Brother Branham said, Satan the serpent almost had a soul. Well, almost doesn't get it. Almost had a soul. They say almost is only good in horseshoes and atomic bombs. But he almost had a soul. God know that they'd look for those bones, and there's not a bone in a snake that looks like a man. He was. That curse, that's the curse of him. He stood up upon his feet just like a man. And notice then that seed, which was next to the human seed. Satan himself, the spirit,
knew that that was the only seed that would pregnate a woman because the chimpanzee won't do it. They've mixed it and everything else and it won't do it. But he knew that the germ of life, which was in the chimpanzee, would not come to the field of a woman, the egg. But he knew the serpent seed would do it. And so he dealt with and through the serpent. And again, questions and answers, contour and doctrine. Brother Bram said, now, he charged that serpent in such a way that had to be done that would confuse this generation. He changed that serpent in such a way that had to be done that it would confuse this generation who's trying to find a bone that looks like some kind of an animal that was part man and part animal to say that there's where man come from. They've lost it from the chimpanzee. Only the chimpanzee doesn't have an intelligence. The chimpanzee has not a soul. He cannot think. Just a noise, and he can, like a horse, gee and haw or something like that. A dog, come here, Fido, do a trick, jump over, and setting blocks and things like that. They do that by emotion, by hearing and things like that, and actions. But to think and to understand, they can't. They don't know they're naked. They don't know the male and female, the difference like that. They have no laws of such, see? They can't do it. The human being is the only one. And the next one to the human being was the serpent. And the Bible said it was the most subtle of the beasts of the field. It was smarter. He almost had a soul. He had a place for a soul. But what did he do? He sold out to Satan to deceive God, or try to. Now we're talking about tracing our lineage back to God. And therefore we have found so far that the light that is in us either came from God or it came from Satan through the serpent. Therefore, if we are to trace our lineage back to either God or Satan through the serpent, we must go back all the way to the beginning. And to go back to the beginning, we must go back to Genesis. For there we find that in Genesis is the beginning of all things. And the book of Genesis, it is known as the seed chapter of the Bible. And Brother Branham said that every seed will ever be in the earth was placed in the earth back there in Genesis. And so from the message Faith Once Delivered to the Saints, Brother Branham said, now today, let's find out what we've got this crop of people that we've got. Or let's find out why we've got this crop of people that we've got. And I would like to add that this question is a very good question, and it's the same question we're raising also this morning. Where do we look? Where do we go to look to see how that we got this crop of people that we have today? Where do they come from? And so he continues in paragraph 34. He says, now let's go back over in Genesis and pick up the beginning. We'll find out everything that we got today originated in Genesis. Genesis is the seed chapter of the Bible. And everything began in Genesis, all right? Because Genesis, the word Genesis means beginning. And it's the seed chapter where God sowed the seed of everything. And the evil one sowed his seed, and God sowed his seed. And here the crops are coming up of the earth just exactly the way that God said that they would do. And I notice in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 11, if you turn with me, I'm going to read what the law of reproduction is. Notice verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. So we see here that there is a law of reproduction that God placed to govern the nature of every form of life. And he said, every seed must bring forth after its kind or nature. Therefore, we see this law of reproduction cannot be altered. And if we want to know what lineage we are, then we must look to the original seed and see what attributes we display, and then seek out the original seed to see what attributes it displays. And then we will know what lineage we belong to. Because all life comes from a seed of one sort or another, and all life is known by its nature. Now, the word nature means the essential characteristics and qualities of a person or thing. The fundamental character or disposition of a person, their temperament. So when we saw Brother Brown tell us earlier that you measure a man by his character, he's telling us that the character is what defines a man's nature. Character is what defines your species. He said if he's all muscles, then he's just a brute beast, no more than just a brute beast. But he said you don't measure a man's muscles by a man by his muscles, but by the bags of the knees in his pants where he's been praying. That's the way you measure a man, by character. Now we can look at the world today, especially in athletics, and we see, I remember back when I was playing football, and it was very rare to see a 300-pound anything. You know, you might hear of a fat Albert, some big fat person, but generally the linemen back then were about my size, 230 to 240 pounds. I was a lot thinner back then. I was 180 pounds, so, you know, they were still big to me. But today, you get running backs that are 250 pounds, 260 pounds, and they're running a 4.6 40-yard dash. You've got linemen that are 300 to 350 pounds, and you can't find an inch of fat on these guys. They're nothing but brute beasts. You've got guys playing basketball, 7 foot, solid muscle. They can jump over trees. I mean, these guys are just phenomenal. They could touch your elbows on the ceiling in here. This is about 9-10 feet. They could put their head through these ceiling panels here till they hit one of the beams going across. Brute beasts. But you look at the character. You know, there was a time when the athlete was, you know, he was just kind of a normal guy. And you had some that were, you know, terrible character, but you had others that were just people making a living. But today there's hardly an athlete out there that isn't fornicating, isn't committing adultery, isn't tattooed from head to toe. Nothing but brute beasts. And it's a shame. But this is the hour that we live in. And it's almost impossible for a son of Adam to compete against these guys. You know, they're all doped up on steroids and muscle-enhancing drugs until they have no mind. They have no soul. Or if they do have a soul, it's been darkened and blackened and it's left. Never been regenerated. And yet many of them call themselves Christians. I remember when I was in the Minnesota Vikings training camp, and I heard men that I had thought were Christian men talking about wife swapping and everything else. I thought, how disgusting. And these men call themselves Christians. You can't be in that environment and serve the Lord. You can't do it. It's impossible. And so we find in Genesis, every seed that will ever come forth into manifestation, and all seeds that will come into manifestation, but our spirit only, were placed in the earth back in the beginning, in Genesis. And so it is in Genesis where we must look to trace our lineage back to God. And so in Genesis chapter 2, reading from verse 4, these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field, before it was in the earth. Well, where was it before it was in the earth? Where did it come from? And notice, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. Where were the seeds? Where did they come from? God placed every seed in the earth. Good and bad. Good and bad.
Amen.
The demons that are in the earth, where do they come from? They came from heaven too. Angels, fallen angels, cast out from heaven, came to the earth. And so we find every seed. Those seeds that can be manifested and show their life, and those seeds which cannot be manifested physically, as Brother Brown calls them, tormenting spirits. They never take on a shape or form, but they inhabit the recesses of the soul and drive the person crazy. All seeds were placed in the earth. Now notice the scripture tells us that God placed these plants and herbs there before they grew, and before they were actually planted in the earth. So then the question we must ask is, how were they there? And in what form were they there? And the answer is that he spoke them. And thus they were first a thought and then a word. And then in Genesis chapter 2, we see God formed them out of the dust of the earth so that they could take on a material substance. So what then were they? They were germs of life. Some fallen germs, others spoken word germs. Years ago, Brother Vail gave me his notes on the Logos. I still have them in my study. And he said, in the beginning, God said horse. And later, God clothed horse. But God's word spoke it first. He thought it first, designed it in his mind, spoke it. And then in chapter 2 of Genesis, he clothed everything. So these were germs, germs of life. And remember, that is what a seed is. A seed is a carrier of the germ of life itself. It matters not what the plant is. It matters not what species. A seed is a carrier of the germ of life, whether it be the life of a man, or the life of a beast, or even the life of a plant, or the life of a germ, an amoeba. All seeds are carriers of this life, or this germ of life. And the germ is very, very small. It is what we call microscopic in size. And Brother Branham said there's nothing to the size of it. The same size germ that makes an elephant makes a chigger. See, nothing to the size of the germ. And some of them take a body form, and some never does. And some never goes into cells. Some become spirit, and they torment the soul. So we see that God placed all seeds in the earth in the spirit form to begin with, and then he clothed some, and others he did not clothe, and they stayed in spirit form. In the message Brother Branham preached on demonology, he said many things about these spirits of cancer and tumors and other inflictions that the devil used to suck the life out of you. And so from diseases and afflictions, Brother Branham said, and Satan's against you. Therefore, this cancer, he starts, or this tumor, whatever it is, from a germ to begin to multiply. Like a tumor becomes malignant, so forth. It's a body. Just like you're a body. It has a spirit just like you are a spirit. Only it has not a soul. But it has a life like you have a life. And therefore then, in you, in your flesh, there is two lives. Oh, hallelujah. When Brother Branham went overseas, they wanted to give him an injection of a vaccine. Most vaccines then were live viruses. They didn't have the ability to deaden a virus like they have today. Today they have what they call acellular. And they put the virus, or they put the, or they breed the virus in egg yolks or in eggs, or they breed them in, they used to breed them in monkeys. They grind up, they inject it in the monkey would be filled with this vaccine, or filled with this virus, and then they'd kill the monkey and they'd make mincemeat, basically. They'd grind up all his his innards, and they'd make like a paste, and they put it in, and they'd multiply the cells that way. Then they would inject that or mix that into the solution, and that's how you get a vaccine. Well, back then, that's how they did it, and most virus, things were live virus. And Brother Branham said, I don't need the inoculation. He said, I've been inoculated with the Holy Ghost. I want you to think about that. Because if you've received the inoculation of the Holy Ghost, Jesus said you could have faith the size of a mustard seed. Well, how many spora could fit in the mustard seed? They say that you could put you could take the population of the earth, 6 billion people, and take that many sperm and put them on the head of a pin. That's how small that germ of life is. And yet that's the same size that an elephant starts out as. It's the same size that a chigger, which you can't see with your eyes, starts out as. It's a germ. It's a spirit. Brother Branham says here, it's got a body, just like you got a body. It has a spirit, just like you are a spirit. Only it's not a soul, but it has a life like you have, and therefore then in you, in your flesh, there is two lives. That's duality. In Christ dwelt the fullness of God. A duality. That's why I can't hardly understand why people can't believe that Jesus was possessed of God. And a man filled with the Holy Ghost is possessed by God. But yet they'll believe that a person can be possessed by the devil. But they can't believe that a man can be possessed by God. Brother Brand said, when you've got a disease in you, there's two lives. There's your life, and there's the life of this demon. One is you and the other one is another being. Multiplying cells, growing a body, just like you grow a body. Is that right? Well then, what does that? That's the devil. The germ is a life. First, the germ is a teeny little cell with a life in it. And that life can only come from two resources, either from God or the devil. And you came from the germ of life by God. The cancer, the tumor, and so forth come from the germ of life by the devil, and he's trying to destroy your life. He eats up your bloodstream and different ways that he works upon. Therefore, I know that they are devils. Jesus Christ called them devils. And what he says is the truth. They are devils. The devil is a tormentor. He's here to tear up your body, to eat you up, to destroy you, to shorten your 70 if he can. And notice how these demons work. They get into your blood. Well, what's the blood? The life is in the blood. So it's a life attacking your life. Then don't just think of it as, well, I need a medication to do this. I need a zapper to do this. Maybe I need something. I need the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You need a good dose of the Word of God to cast out any demon. Because by His stripes you're already healed. The stinger was pulled out in Calvary. Mm-hmm. From deep calls to the deep, Brother Ram said, well then, who put that in there? It only has to come from one thing, and that's the devil. And it's a germ, cancer, tumor. Any of those things come from a germ, and you come from a germ too. You see? And from demonology, Brother Ram says, sometimes tumors are lopsided this way. They're long or oblong and everything. They have no form because they're after a spirit which has no form. But it's a developing of cells. It's a bunch of cells that say, in you right now is a tumor or cancer. Just developing cells, growing, growing, growing. It's eating, sucking your life from you. It's living on the bloodstream. Now I would like to interject here that Brother Branham is telling us that the demons live off of our bloodstream. And that is because the life is in the blood. And so the demon invades your life and lives off of your life to maintain his own life. I want you to think of that because that is an attribute that I don't want you to miss. Because that is a satanic characteristic, to live off the life of another to maintain its own life. That's why I disdain politicians so much. They just live off the backs of the hardworking people to sustain themselves, and their goal is to create programs that will keep them in office. That is like Jesse Jackson's of the world, the different advocates like himself, who leech off of the black people and call themselves the spokesmen for the black people. And yet all they're doing is using the poor black people to create jobs for themselves. And they use their clout to extort the white man who has a guilty conscience. And it's all satanic. And they condemn the black man who, through education or through hard work, lifts himself out of the ghetto. And that is no different than these terrorists who claim to be speaking for Islam. They have no interest in Islam, no more than no more than the Pope has any interest in Christianity. They use religion for gain. And in Jude 1 and verse 11, we read, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. They ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and they perished in their gainsaying, in the gainsaying of Korah. So when you see a person that is nothing but a leech, just living off of somebody else, where did that spirit come from? It didn't come from God. Now, Brother Brown continues, cataracts take the mucus of the eye and they grow right over it. They cover his self over and shut your eyes off. Some of them comes and they never, well, like tubercular, that comes just in a small germ. And as Christina mentioned, if someone has tuberculosis and they spit on the ground and you walk by and you step on it or even just walk near it, you could get tuberculosis. That germ is so small, you can't see it. But it's there. That's why we need to be inoculated, especially in this hour, with the Holy Spirit. You see? He said, he continues, cataracts take the mucus of the eye and they grow right over it. Covers himself over. Shuts your eyes off. Some of them comes and they never gets, like tubercular. That comes just in a little small germ. There's nothing to the size of it. The same size germ makes an elephant, makes a chigger. See? Nothing to the size of the germ. And some of them take a body form. Some never does. And some never goes into cells. Some become spirit and torments the soul. Now, in order for us to gain a better understanding of our own lineage, we need to know that every seed must bring forth after its kind, after its nature. Then it is very important for us to know that the nature of other seeds, in order to place the characteristics of our own nature with those of the other seeds that had their source back in Genesis. And in the message Christ revealed in his own word, Brother Ron tells us that the soul is our germ. Our soul is the very germ seed itself. How many remember years ago we read you a quote where Brother Branham was talking about science had found a little compartment in the soul? He said it was just no more than just about the size. He said it could contain about one cell. But just a little hole there in the heart. And he said that's where they believed that the soul resided. Now that's pretty small. That's pretty small. But see, that's where that germ of life begins. Now I want to interject here that Brother Branham is telling us that the demon lives off of our bloodstream. And why is that? Because the life is in the blood. And so the demon invades your life and lives off your life to maintain his own life. And I want you to think about that because that's the attribute that we shouldn't miss out on. Look, we call them parasites. A parasite gets into the body and it's living off of you. After it kills you, it goes look for another parasite. And you know with the zappers that we use, we zap three times because the first time you zap for 7 minutes, that kills the parasite. Then you don't zap for about 20 minutes. And the reason you don't zap for 20 minutes is because that parasite leaves the host. The bacteria, which are parasites also. They leave the host of the parasite, the tapeworm or fluke or whatever kind of parasite you had, amoeba. And they go into the bloodstream and they begin to look for another host. Then you zap again and you kill that bacteria. Then you wait 20 minutes and during that 20 minutes you got another parasite called a virus, which is 50 times smaller than a bacteria. It's like a man riding on the back of a beluga whale and a man being 6 foot riding on the back of a 300 foot something. And so then that virus, you zap and you kill that virus. So you see, these things are demonic. They live off of the life of another, like fungus on a tree. It can't take direct light. And neither can the nominal Christian. They can't take direct light. But they live off the light of those who can take direct light. You see? Now, just think of the application here. Your glorified body starts out as a little germ. And it begins growing around the Word until it comes forth in the image of the Word. And it manifests only the Word. Jesus told us it begins like the mustard seed but grows into the tallest of herbs. From Christ revealed in his own Word, Brother Branham said, the Laodicean church age, naked, blind, miserable, don't even know it. See, it's not anointed with the real Spirit. See, that Holy Spirit can fall upon a man in his spirit, but his soul is his germ. And that germ is the Word. See, I don't care how much you preach, how well you do this, or how much you love, that's one of the inlets of the Spirit. You can't love with your body, you love with your spirit. That's one of the inlets. And you can love and even love God and still not be right. You can cast out devils and preach and do those things, still not right. Jesus says, so many will come to me in that day, but that Word settles it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So if your germ seed, your soul, didn't begin from that Word, then where did it begin from? From things that are to be. He said, I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That still has nothing to do with it. That's only a temporal gift for you. The real gift is your soul down in there, see, that was born of God and that controls the whole thing to the Word of God and the will of God. And there you grow up, see. Then you are a son and daughter of God. You're a child of God. And these things that you come up, like the mother now, you're in the bowels of the earth trying to come forth. You're a son of God coming forth and see the words says, I should do this. I should be born again. Well, you say, I belong to church. That don't mean one thing. See, I'm a Methodist. My mother, that's good for your mother. Well, I'm a Pentecostal. I belong. Well, if you don't line up with the Word, there's something wrong, see? Then you see your real father ain't God. Because that real start in your soul, before there was ever a spirit, it was a soul. And that soul didn't come from God, then it wasn't a germ of God to begin with. You're deceived. You're in a patch of weeds and bearing the world's record of weeds. Coming forth, acting like the world, loving the world, is because the love of God's not in you. So if there was no manifestation or representation in him, if there was no representation in him before the world was framed, then there will not be any manifestation at the end that will manifest a son or daughter of God. From Future Home, Brother Branham said, look, them hands designed this for his beloved, a bride, designed in tenderly love for his bride. Remember that the Holy Ghost descended on Jesus, which Jesus was a part of the earth. Why? Because the germ of God, the life of God, was designed in the womb of a woman. That's right. Which was the earth. All right? And then the life of God came in. So he was the beginning of the creation of God. See? And then that blood of God that was there by that germ, when it was shed at Calvary, dropped back upon the earth. What for? To redeem the earth. So when the blood came forth from the body of Jesus, the blood that God had placed in the womb of Mary, in the body that thou hast prepared me, when that blood was spilled to the earth, it actually redeemed the earth. It's it's been justified. It's been sanctified and called and claimed. And now it's to receive its baptism with fire and be cleansed for Jesus and his bride. And you are these other parts that draw it out of the earth. You are part of the earth. Your body is a part of the earth. Your soul is a part of God, an attribute of God, displayed here on earth in a body. And the body's to be redeemed. Now the soul's redeemed because it was in sin. So God come down by process of justification, sanctification, baptism in the Holy Ghost, and redeemed your soul. And you being part of the earth, it's redeemed by it. You're in the process now. It's growing on. So you see these bodies that we have. How are we going to get a change? Well, Brother Branham said, God don't give you a new body. A patched up body. He doesn't patch you up either. He takes you right back to the atoms and brings you right back again. Rearranges it because the body you've got is just in a wrong rearrangement. And God takes those atoms and he lines them back up again. That's a glorified body. That's a body coming to the Word and lining itself up. Being transformed by the renewing of the mind. So it begins in the soul, the germ life. And when that germ life multiplies and multiplies and multiplies, there's another body growing. Brother Branham said, right now, there's a glorified body waiting. So we see that the germ seed is the soul, and therefore in that soul is the very nature of either God or of the devil. So we must know what the attributes of the source of that life are, or we can deceive ourselves and think that we are seed of God when we are not. In fact, that is the very argument that Jesus had in John chapter 8 with the Pharisees. Because they themselves thought that they were the seed of God when they were the seed of the serpent. And he said, you're of your father the devil. The lust of your father you'll do. He's a murderer from the beginning. You see, Jesus pointed them to the attributes and said, look, you're fulfilling the attributes because you're trying to kill me. He said, and I'm of God. God spoke of me. But you want to kill me. He said, that's because you're of your father the devil. He said, why can't you hear my word? Because there's no place for my word in you. Why do these people condemn the presence? Why do they condemn the Godhead? Why do they condemn seed and Alpha and Omega and these very principles that the prophet brought forth? It's because there's no place for the word in them. Now, when we studied twins, we placed two charts for your study. The first chart showed the attributes of both seeds, which they were, that they had in common. The second chart then made comparisons between the sources of the seeds, which show the God attributes and the devil attributes through serpent seed. So in effect, they're showing simple beast nature. And from the power of transformation, Brother Branham said, there's always twins. And that's the reason. Don't forget this, little flock. The church in the last days is going to be twins. So close that it would deceive the elected. Matthew 24:24. See, the church is going, it's a Pentecostal move. It's so much like the real thing, till it would deceive the very elected if it was possible. And a little later on, if I get a chance, I want to explain what and how that election comes. You see, it's going to deceive them because it's almost like the same thing. See, just two fathers, that's all. Same mother, same church, same movement, same everything. The betting ground is the same where the word falls. But one of them, like here, is perverted. You understand. Say amen if you do. See, one of them is perversion because it's the wrong father, which I will prove someday, if God let me, that denomination is the mark of the beast. See, it's a wrong father. He's steering people to an organization instead of to the word. See, it's the wrong father. It's a Cain move. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for showing us, Lord, that it is by our character and the attributes that are manifested forth from your word that shows us our lineage all the way back to the garden. And as your prophet said, the actions we do here is only a reflection of where our other body is at. And so, Father, we pray that all that it lays within us, that, Lord, even though we make our mistakes, yet we have the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us. And even though we ourselves fall short of the goal, yet your Son Jesus said 70 times 7. But, Father, it's not that. It's the desires in our heart. It's what's in our heart, what our desires are, what we want to be. That declares what germ seed is in there. And so, Father, we just pray that you would release that germ seed, that it might bring forth and manifestly multiply until the very nature of yourself is reflected in these mortal bodies. For we ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen.